Thank you very much, Pastor. I appreciate it. It has been an absolute delight to be here for my dear wife, Harriet. She's right there. And just to spend Friday and Saturday yesterday morning at the men's breakfast, I thank God for that. I was telling Pastor, this is perhaps one of the absolute friendliest churches I've ever been to. So I just want to say up front, thanks so much for making us feel relaxed and welcome. And so I'm going to take liberties accordingly in that. So, but you know what? The passage of Scripture from Romans, if you have your Bibles there, just briefly turn there. Romans chapter 15. I'm going to be giving more of a testimony of God's what God himself did amongst the Basodio people. And what he tonight, I'm going to be sharing what he continues to do. So what you hear this morning isn't just a flash in the frying pan and it's over in a flash. No, it's an ongoing work that God has done. But Romans chapter 15, pick it up at verse 8. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol his name. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. And here it is, in him will the Gentiles hope. And that is part of God's plan, and that is what I'm here to share with you this morning. A real life testimony of what God has done and continues to do in Papua New Guinea. You know, you have very capable pastors who teach you faithfully, godly men who teach you faithfully week in and week out. I'm not assuming that's my task here during a missions conference. Where am I coming from? I believe the first missionary conference was in Acts 14. At the end, when they return, Paul and Barnabas get back to the church, and this is the biblical principle upon which I'm working this morning. It says in verse 27, here's a principle for missions conferences. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done, all that God had done with them, and how he, that is God, had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And so that's what this is all about, a people for his name. It goes on in Acts 15, verse 14, where the testimony is given how God is working in this world back then and today to call out a people for his name. And I'm not here to talk about George and Harriet. I'm here to talk about him. And I'm here to draw, by God's grace, to draw your hearts to him and to get your focus on him by his testimony, not by mine. And so with your kind permission, I'll proceed to give you the testimony of what my dear and precious wife and our co-workers saw God do in the hearts and minds of those dear and precious people and what he continues to do to this day. And may it be a challenge to each of us right here in good old Colorado Springs. Hear my, send me presupposes, I believe, a renewed vision of who God is. I loved how we read that at the beginning of the service. Man, Isaiah, he just gets this glimpse of God, but he got a new understanding by himself. Even though he was a man of unclean lips, he was forgiven. And in the midst of that forgiveness and that renewal of a vision of who God really is and who he was, he volunteers. Now that I see more clearly and understand, here am I, send me. And so I feel that it's there in that renewed perspective that God continues to renew our mind. Isn't it true that it says in Romans, be transformed how? By the renewing of the mind. And I believe you could say, in other words, by the gaining, the continual gaining of God's point of view, of gaining his perspective. So let me share the Basodio story as I saw God and the work that he did there on that foreign field. And in him did the Gentiles hope. Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea is the second largest island in the world. Does anybody know what the largest island in the world is? Yes. Boy, you guys are all over this thing. Friday night I asked that. 100 hands went up. They knew where Papua New Guinea was. Very good. It's the home. Now, here's the interesting thing. Papua New Guinea, an independent nation, it's the home of some 5 million people. But amongst those 5 million people, there are over 800 different distinct language groups. Could you imagine? Not 100, not 200, not 300, not 400, 800 different distinct language groups. The Lord gave us the privilege to reach the Basodio people. And there, one of the fellows there, and there's some other photos we're going to show you hopefully tonight by way of PowerPoint, so you can see better who we're talking about and what's going on now. The Basodios were a very isolated people group, cut off from the outside world. They were geographical misfits, as it were. They were semi-nomadic, living in hamlets. And they were at the headwaters of these three different river systems. That's how we found them when we first contacted them. The men just wore jungle vine wrapped around their waist and with grass front and back. The women just simply wore swamp grass. That's all they had. There were no stores, no roads, no towns. There wasn't anything even close to them. And yet they were fellow human beings created in the image of God. They weren't animals. Fellow human beings created in the image of God. They had never even seen stick matches before. We found them. They were using coconut shells for bowls and inverted parrot bills for spoons. When we first got in there, we started a medical program right away. Man, simple aspirin that we take for granted. That was a godsend. There was an epidemic of headaches as soon as they found out what aspirins were. It was a joy to minister to them and the penicillin. They were responding like that to some of the various diseases they had. What an absolute delight to help these dear and precious people. But you know what? They were miserable living the way they were. And they weren't sitting around waiting for Bible stories. Immorality, fornication, adultery, the order of the day. That's the way it was. When we first got in there, too, and did a survey amongst the people, that we found only 4 men amongst them who had not murdered someone in their lifetime. Neighboring tribes downriver labeled the Basodios wild animals, jungle pigs. That's not what we said, but that's what the neighboring tribes said about them. And yet when we first got in there, we had a problem. When we first contacted them back in 1978, what was that problem? Yaka habai hone maha negib ya bagai fohine. O yai da bagai fohi bahi. Wow. I got the English Bible. How are you going to begin to talk to them? They don't know English. I certainly don't know their language. Their language was unknown and unwritten. And so we had a problem. And so we set about to begin to learn their language, a word at a time. Dowi. Dada, Hale, Gi, Gibo, so on and so forth. Wow, man, you talk about wanting to, you talk about feeling in over your heads. As we moved in amongst them with our co-workers, Bob and Obi Kennel from Seattle, Washington, you know, we just moved into the village. They had no idea why we were there. They just sensed that we wanted to help them. We tried to tell them in a broken way that we were going to tell them about God's talk. They had no idea. Absolutely no idea whatsoever. We lived in our house was just simply made out of tree bark, poles of the jungle, and a thatch roof, just like they lived. We lived smack dab in the middle of them and set about for the next 3 years to learn their language and culture before we could say 2 peeps about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was tearing us up that we couldn't get the gospel message sooner to them, but we had to learn that language and culture first before we began could communicate to them. At the end of 3 years of studying, day in and day out, and look, I have 26 pages of notes on this story, but you're getting the Clip Note version, the Reader Digest version here this morning. We don't have time to go into all the details. At the end of those 3 years, we told them that we had been telling them all along this important message we wanted to tell them, this God's talk. So we gathered the leaders of the village together and they said, well, it's about time. It's only been 3 years. But they had no idea what it went into learning that language and culture. So we said, well, we realize that you tell your important stories around the fires at night. And so we got an idea. What do you guys think If we just begin at one house telling a fire around, telling the story, God's talk around the fire one night, and next night we'll go to another hut, and the next night we'll go to another hut. Well, what do you think about that? And they said, hut to hut, is this story important or isn't it? Oh, we said it's the most important story you're ever going to hear. Well, they said, if it's that important, then you're going to teach the whole village at once. Wow! The whole village at once. So we didn't want to push it, my coworker and I. And we said, well, how often do you want to get together? A couple times a week? A couple times a week isn't important, or isn't it? They said to us. So, man. So we said, well, again, it's the most important message you're ever going to hear. So they said, if it's that important, you will teach us every day of the week. And I'm thinking, man, I couldn't do that in English, let alone in their language. That is a lot of cranking out. So we said, well, now, wait a minute. Every day of the week. So the elders went over and they huddled by themselves because the food quest still goes on. They're not just going over to, you know, King Supers and pulling stuff off the shelves. They're clawing it out there in the jungle to keep body and soul from dissipating. So they came back to us and they said, look, you will teach us Monday through Friday. And we will get the food on the weekends. You don't worry about us. We'll take care of the food. You will teach us Monday through Friday. So at their request, we began teaching them Monday through Friday. Now, in the beginning, we gathered with about 35 of them because the lion's share of the tribal nation was afraid to come to this location because there was a lake behind our village. They were afraid of evil spirits that lived in that lake. And so many of them would not come in the beginning. And so we began teaching them. Can you imagine 35 of these dear people, 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And these guys are hearing it for the first time. Man, what an unbelievable privilege that God was setting before us through His grace and His absolute mercy. And when I say through His grace and mercy, I know what I'm talking about because I know that God is indeed using the weak and foolish one in that context. So there we were, and we began in the beginning. In the beginning, God, we were going to unpack the scriptures from the beginning, not just start in the New Testament. Then that's like reading a novel and start a 300 page novel and starting on page 150. Why would you start on page 150? You had no idea what the story's about. So we began in the beginning, God, and we just began even painting some pictures about who God was. Even before in the beginning, that he was, don't worry about me, I'll be all right up here. That he was this ever living eternal being who always was and always has been. No mother, no father, no time of origin. And they looked at us and they said, what? Whoa! We talked about him not having a body because we knew their culture. Every one of their spirits has body. You can even draw blood from their spirits. So this concept of the God of the Bible began right from the get-go to blow them away. They were overwhelmed right from the beginning, this God of the Bible. And what a joy it was as we began to unfold how God created the angels. And we went inside the fall of Lucifer and how now he became an evil spirit. Then we moved on to the creation of this world. And I'll tell you what, as we went through the beginning chapters of creation, absolutely unbelievable how God began to use creation to get his divine foot into their hearts. And as we went over creation, and again, it wasn't just a matter of saying on day one, God did this, on day two, God, like we were just pouring in Bible information. But we used the creation story as I believe God intended it to be used to glorify who he is. His glory, his power, his majesty, his love, care and concern for man. We spent 2 weeks on Genesis chapter 1 alone. That's teaching 5 days a week. And they were, I'm telling you, they were overwhelmed, drawn to the sky, wooed unto him. Man being created in God's image for the purpose of what? For the purpose of knowing him and loving him and glorifying him. Guys, the first time it even dawned on my heart and mind that that was good news. That was good news. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Oh, they couldn't believe it. And I remember as the scriptures began to speak to them that this God of the Bible loomed far larger and greater in their minds and hearts than they ever even imagined. And I remember as we talked, because there was no building, we were just up on this hillside as they all gathered together. And God was speaking to them, speaking mightily to their hearts. And there may be some birds that flew over, cloud formations move in, and they began, creation began to speak to their hearts. And they said, oi dai, godimana godi hadawa kadawamo. Look, look, God is showing us He is God. Creation became alive. When we got to the Garden of Eden, man, think about it, no thorns. No thistles, no wild pigs tearing up your gardens. That was good news to any tribal person's ears. In fact, they said, where is this place? Man, because it's not here. Where is this place? Then we stopped because we didn't just give sermons. Our times, we spent about an hour and a half each meeting. They weren't 20-minute sermons. They weren't going like this. There weren't none of these to do that with. But guys, we engaged. It was a conversation with the village. Constant, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We were talking, communicating to one another. Where is this place? Matter of fact, some of the guys said, well, who ruined it for the rest of us? Then they stopped and they paused. And one guy said if he could get his hands on the guy that ruined it, he was going to take an axe and chop him up in 1,000 pieces. All this stuff. I thought, oh. But as we move through the scriptures, and as God was captivating their hearts, came to Adam and Eve when they saw the fall, when Satan comes in and tempts. And they see that Satan not only hates God, but he hates them. And wants to see them destroyed and into hell. And so when we got to that temptation, now the Bible was beginning to fit together more and more to them as one ongoing story. But they saw the tragedy of the fall of man and of God's judgment for that disobedience. We do live in a moral universe. There was a choice. They weren't robots. They made a choice. But even though man chose to turn away, in Genesis 3:15, God gives that promise, I believe, of the coming Redeemer, the seed of the woman who was going to crush the serpent's head. Well, as this downward pressure began to come in upon them, then there was this hope concurrently with this promised Redeemer. So I can remember we're sitting there in this circle, and Enome, one of the Basodio women, she says, well, tell us, has he been sent? Will he be sent? Oh, we said, no, he's been sent. He's been sent already. And then she goes, I know. I know who it was God said he was going to send. It was you. We said, no, and you better be grateful it wasn't us. No, it wasn't us. But keep listening to the story. Now, not everybody, and some of them, guys, these guys were so on fire. They, without any prompting from us, nobody holding up cue cards. Please do this, it'll make a cool prayer letter. None of that. They went out on their own and got their relatives. And their relatives start to come in from the outlying areas, started coming in to hear this God's talk. They said, you're not going to believe what we're hearing. Man, that was awesome. Now, not everybody. There were mockers. In fact, there was one clan up in the mountains where a shaman, a witch doctor, had a vision of this spirit being called Denaya. And forbade that his entire clan from hearing God's talk. From hearing God's talk. Okay, so it wasn't everybody, but there were many, many, many people that were hungry. Some mockers and some that chose not to hear. And so we were in the midst of a battle, but nevertheless, the Spirit of God was drawing them unto Himself. Those that had ears to hear, just like here in the United States. Hey, you know what? God's not going to take a 2x4 to anybody's head. You got ears to hear? Okay, you get to hear. You don't? Okay, then you don't get to hear. God wants people to respond out of Him as He draws them from a willing heart, not kinking and screaming. And there were those that were just just wooed unto him. They were becoming more and more conscious that they were sinners indeed. And yet God had promised this Redeemer that somehow this Redeemer was going to make a way for the people to come back into a right relationship with God. Well, we went on to the story of Cain and Abel, and my coworker and I would do drama sometimes. We would teach and act out these little skits and that kind of stuff. And they liked that. They said, you know what? That's helpful. Not only are we hearing God's talk with our ears, but we're seeing as you act it out with our eyes. And it's helpful. Please keep doing that. So we did. But you know what? It was interesting as we acted out these stories and proclaimed and preached God's word. That they realized that the Spirit of God was taking truth. Taking the power of His Word, the authority of His Word, the Spirit of God was taking truth and opening their eyes of understanding. I would find they always associated themselves with the fallen character in the stories. They would even say, like, we're like Cain. That's us. We're like Cain. We're like Cain. We got to the story of Noah. I remember distinctly we were 3 days on the story of Noah. Some of the leaders, in particular, a fellow named by the name of Yano. He came up to us after that meeting and he says, I see it now. You and Bob preaching to us, that's like Noah. And we're like the people outside of the ark, aren't we? Oh, indeed. God doesn't want you to be outside of the ark, as it were, though. He wants you inside that ark and he's going to make a way for you. And we continued to unpack the scriptures, the Tower of Babel. Oh, and they heard the Tower of Babel because they hate the fact that this whole language thing is a barrier. They wanted to get their hands around Nimrod's neck and squeeze the living daylights out of him. Calling of Abraham, even though the world, chapter 12, verse 3, where God calls Abraham and he says what in Genesis 3? God keeps the narrative going. He keeps the story going. Abraham, in you and in your seed, I will bless all nations of the earth. And the Apostle Paul uses that for argumentation in the book of Galatians. Indeed, it was speaking about the gospel. And when they heard this, Dania, dear and precious man, I remember he had asthma. He stood up and he said, this is wonderful talk. And he got up and he started exhorting his fellow Basodios. We need to be talking about God's talk when we're in the gardens, when we're on our canoes, when we're in the houses at night. Oh, man, it was awesome. And I'm going to stay home and watch sitcoms. Man, why would I do that? Following God, wherever it be. He doesn't have overseas ministry for everybody. He made for some. Maybe even some of you right here. Who knows? Here am I, send me. It matters if we go and respond to the sending. Even though we're weak and frail in and of ourselves. Sodom and Gomorrah. When we got to Sodom and Gomorrah at the end. And for that, at some reason, I can remember we did that. That was an evening lesson. They had to do some things in the morning, so we taught at night. Some of the leaders of the village came to us. They said, we're done. We're leaving this village. I thought, my coworker and I said, what? Man, it was going so good. Oh, what's going on? We said, you're leaving the village. Why? Why? And they said to us, look what happened to Adam and Eve. Look what happened to Cain and his family. Look what happened to the people of Noah's time. Look what happened to people of the Tower of Babel's time. And now you're telling us this? We're next! We're next! Guys, think about it. The Spirit of God convicting them deeply. They're wanting to leave the village. I'll tell you what, ask yourself, how many people here in Colorado Springs are walking the street thinking they're next? No. It's the bad news first. Too often we try to give good news to people that haven't even accepted bad news. They don't even believe there's bad news. So good news presupposes it's good news in relation to something. Good news in relation to what? Not just news, it's good news. Okay. And if you even think of what God has Paul do in Romans chapter 3. I believe God is out to silence sinners first. Otherwise, God can't get a word in edgewise. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world become accountable to him. No, it must be. It must be the bad news first. And we weren't just trying to drag this out for the sake of doing that. Because you know why? Because we saw God doing something. They got their tape recorders. Do you know what a tape recorder is? They didn't. They got a tape recorder, right? And they started recording these lessons. We gave them tape recorders at their request. They knew that this little box could capture your voice and you could hear it back again. So they, on their own request, started tape recording these lessons. And then as they sent out the word, more people started coming in. 40, 50, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80. The people, 2, 3, and 4 days walk away. No buses, no taxi cabs, no cars, walking over rugged mountainous terrain, up and down mountains with the food quest ever on. Constant need for food, but pulling together to gather food together that they might keep hearing God's word. So now the crowd is growing and God keeps bringing people to himself. We got to Abraham offering up Isaac. Wow, man. The principle of substitution. Again, they didn't know or understand any of that. And again, I'll cut and paste here. Jacob and Esau, they saw that going on. Of course, they related themselves to Esau. They saw what God did in Egypt. They saw what he did in Egypt and how he delivered them. Unbelievable. They loved Yahweh cleaning Pharaoh's clock. They loved it. And they would say, God and God alone is the absolute authority. Wow! Wow, man. Oh, there's so much here, you guys. The blood on the doorpost. Again, we kept pulling on the redemptive analogies, knowing we were going to go back to them later. Pulling God's story along. The Bible's holding together as one book. Not 66 books all chopped up and all over the place, no. The Bible was on one ongoing story. By the time we got to Mount Sinai, that was the nail in the coffin. The Ten Commandments. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Hanagibimo! What are we going to do? Kode arai. God is the essence of goodness. You can't even so much as even get close to him. Oh, divine holiness and righteousness. Now their eyes are looking for that coming Redeemer. And I could give you story after story, the serpent in the wilderness and so on and so forth. By this time, 20 weeks of teaching, now there's 100 Basodias there who have come from every nook and cranny. Just meeting on a hillside. There was no service. We did not sing with them. We did not pray with them. Why would we sing with them? Why would we pray with them? As animists, they would be just looking for some kind of way to gain righteousness with God. Let me do something to get in on the good side of this God. No. No, keep your eyes on the Redeemer. So at that 20-week point, that we're like fruit that we're ripe, we're ready to move into the New Testament because the Old Testament had done its work. So Loa and some of the other elders came to us. And they said to us, as elders, not only will you teach us in the morning, you'll teach us in the evening as well. Hold on here. So you have to be careful that they don't think that, okay, you listen to this God's talk, now you're going to get clothes, now you'll have shoes, now you'll have outboard motors. And so you want to make sure they're not thinking this is a something they're going to get in on the goodies like the white man or something like that. No, that's not fair to them because that's not what this is about. And so we said, you know what? If you're thinking that after you hear God's talk, that now you're not going to get clothes, Now you're going to have, everybody's going to have a chainsaw, no more axes. Everybody's going to have a boat, no more dugout canoes. That's not going to happen. You're still going to work in the swamps. You're still going to get sick. You're still going to get malaria. That's not going to change. Because that's the truth. That's not what this is about. So Lois spoke up. He said, listen, if we want clothes, we'll work. We'll get the money and buy them. We want to know what God has done about our sins. That's why we're asking you to teach us day and night. Wow. Okay, now you're ready. Now there's no hidden motives. And so we moved on to the New Testament, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wish I had time to go into the intimate details. Absolutely unbelievable. When we got to the New Testament and they heard that it was God the Son, because they had already heard about the Trinity. This was not just anybody down the street coming. This was God the Son. It was a breath of fresh air. The Lord Jesus coming on the scene was just breathed into them hope like I had never seen before. And we began to go through the life of the Lord Jesus there. And let me just give you a few highlights from that. The temptation in the wilderness. And we would do these skits. It seems like I was always the bad guy. My coworker always got to be the good guy. So in the skit, he's playing the Lord and I'm the role of Satan. You know, but anyway, the people are in this semicircle. You can see 100 of them there on this hillside there in the jungle of the village. And when they saw the tempter come, you could hear them saying, oh, no, oh, no, because I always had this costume on that signaled that that was Satan. But they saw the Lord Jesus respond just as the Bible said. We were just doing what the scripture said. And here, guys, here they were cheering on the sidelines. Yes, don't give in to him. Don't give in to him. Yes, yes. Oh, why couldn't he have been in the Garden of Eden? Why couldn't he have been the one drawn to the Lord Jesus? We went through the healing ministry of Christ. And the Lord Jesus was sweeping them off their feet. Absolutely unbelievable. Falling in love with the Lord Jesus, and they had no idea how the story was going to really culminate. Swept off their feet. The story of blind Bartimaeus, the raising of Lazarus, and on the different stories of the Lord. I remember one time, some of the people came up to us at the end of the evening session as the sun was going down. Is that all? Is that all? Is there any more you can tell us? Is that all? Wow, man. Look, at the same time, as Pastor mentioned, we had broken their language down into writing, created an alphabet. My dear wife is the one that really spearheaded that with our co-worker's wife, Nobi Kennel. And these guys led the literacy program. And they're the ones that really discipled them how to read and write their language and also train trainers so that the Basodias would be able to train their own. And I can remember in the beginning days, there were concurrently, we had literacy classes going on as we were teaching. And I can remember Miley saying, Harry told me, she looked over his shoulder and here he's writing. First time they ever seen pencils and paper. And he's writing, I love Jesus. Wow, guys, they were singing songs. No word of a lie. They were singing songs about the Lord Jesus as they walked around the village during the day, making up songs about the Lord Jesus, and they didn't even know how the story was going to end. We got to the Last Supper. We acted all that out, and we ended on that night with the arrest taking place. And so the Lord has taken off, as it were. We had other missionaries helping us to do these skits. We even got the Basodios involved in helping us to do some of these skits. And they didn't even know really how it was going to go down. We went to bed. Before we went to bed, we told the Basodios, tomorrow you're going to hear the essence of God's talk. You're going to hear why we've come. You're going to hear why God has sent us. You're going to hear the story of God's, the message of God's Son, the promised Redeemer. Now you're going to know what it's all about. Man, there was fever pitch excitement through the whole village. Absolutely unbelievable. Our hearts, we were just bowed before the Lord, crying out to God for mercy. Lord, please help us to know exactly how to bring this to pass and to present it in a clear way that they can understand. Well, we turn the generator on. And that was a signal that it's time to get up and cook your food, because we told them, look, we're going to have to get going early. It's going to take us a little while to get this story to you, because we were going to act out everything, crucifixion, the whole nine yards. And we said, the sun starts beating down on you, and without a building, man, you're fried by about 8 o'clock over there. You don't want to be, well, I'd say about 9 o'clock. You don't want to be out in the sun at 9 o'clock over there, just sitting with the sun beating down on you with no cover. So we turned it up. We got up 5:30 in the morning, turned the generator on. That kind of signaled to the whole village, time to get up. They're running all over the place. You could see a lot of hubbub. And yet, when it came time to call the people, we didn't see anybody. And my house was down here, and we slept together. My co-worker was here. Where we were meeting with the people was up on this hillside at the top of the village. Jungle all around us. This is raw, virgin jungle. It's like in a Tarzan movie. Only cleared out around the village. And so I came back. I said, Bob, man, where are the people? Where is everybody? I don't even see them in the village. What's going on? And so we hear from the top of the hill the people calling down to us. Hey! Bob and George, are you coming to tell us God's talking, aren't you? Here they were already assembled as we walk up the hill. Absolutely unbelievable. We're walking up the hill and we see the people up there and they're pointing in that direction. And some of them are young. Oi dai, lomo eyamo, lomo eyamo. Look, look, he's put the rainbow. He's put the rainbow. And across this valley was this absolutely unbroken, gorgeous rainbow at 7 o'clock in the morning. I didn't put the rainbow there. And they said, God is telling us to listen to his messengers. Wow, I'll tell you why, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, guys, let me keep moving on here. We're coming to an end here of this time. Went through the time of the Lord of being for Caiaphas. We would act and then proclaim the scriptures and teach. Do a little bit of skit, teach. Do a little bit of a skit and so on. Had the Lord before Caiaphas and then before Pilate. And the Basidios are getting worked up because they see the Lord Jesus in trouble here. And they, what's going on? He didn't do anything. Remember where Pilate says, I'm going to flog him and leave him alone? Some of the Basidios, and we're sitting again, and they're sitting down on the ground in a semicircle. Literally got up. Here we're acting it out in the middle of the stage, and they came over. That's right. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Let him go. Get back over here. That's not how it goes. They were emotionally engaged with the Lord Jesus, captivated. Christ was their hero. And then when we acted out the crucifixion, absolutely stunned into silence. Some of them absolutely just in absolute dismay. What is this? What is this? Oh, I wish. Oh, guys, honestly, we went through that whole thing and it was such a powerful thing that the Spirit of God. Here's the story. You could have heard a pin drop, and that's a miracle amongst tribal people when there's that many together. Okay. Went through the crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection. The ascension was a little tricky to act that out. So we just. They looked at us and at the end they said, that's it. That's it. We said, no, that's not it. Basidius, listen. And we began. It's not skits that's going to save people. It's the preaching of the word of God. Proclamation of truth. And so but we had built that foundation, all those Old Testament redemptive analogies that God himself had put in there on purpose. That we drew upon. Basidius, do you remember Abel? Abel and the sacrifice that he offered. Yes, remember. We remember. Who died? Did Abel die? No. No, Abel didn't die. The lamb died. The animal died in his place. That's right. And in the same way, Christ died for you. And they looked at us. What? Then we went on to Isaac being offered up. And the door on the blood on the doorpost there, during the Passover, the serpent in the wilderness, and so on. It was the blood on the doorpost that really began to open their eyes. In the same way that God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." In the same way, Christ shed His blood for you. He ate the pain, as they said it. He shed His blood for you. And you could see the lights clicking on. It was awesome. Wakea. We didn't even ask for a raise of hands. We didn't do anything like that. While we're still proclaiming truth, Wakea, the oldest man in the village, said to my coworker, Bob, come here. Are you telling us? Are you saying that Jesus died for us? Yes, Wakea, that's exactly what we're saying. He died for you. And Bob, are you saying that I can trust Jesus and I can believe that His death was for me? Oh, Wakea, yes, that's exactly what we're saying. Bob, I do believe that Jesus shed His blood for me. Oh, man, I couldn't believe it. How many of you in the back, a young guy in his 20s, he gets up on a stool and we said, on a tree stump. And we said, Haviagu, do you have something to say to the whole group publicly? He says, indeed I do. And this young man, just like it was yesterday, I burned into my conscience. He said, I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, He died for me. And that when He shed His blood, He shed it for me. And had He not have done that, I would have gone to hell. Oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it was absolutely wonderful that God had opened. I'm going to go down one of these times. That God had opened the door of the faith to the Gentiles. I'm going to close with just one closing thought. There's more and I'll go into more detail at 11 o'clock. But listen. There was rejoicing, crying, laughing, hugging one another. We're forgiven. And they were just reveling in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened just like the Bible said it would. In Him, the Gentiles will hope. Hear my, send me. That's my prayer for each and every one of you. It matters as we respond and how we respond to God. Your life matters. Your history matters. There's Basodios right here in our neighborhoods, aren't there? I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything like that. But I really do believe that there are people absolutely no different than these dear people here. That night, the Basodios were venting their praise. And they said to... they were just up there venting their praise, and they were doing this. They were in a huge congregational holding arms, no tongues, anything like that. Yeah, they had their language, but they were going like this. And you know what they were doing? They were singing songs about the Lord Jesus that they were making up on the spot, singing chronologically about His life, starting with His birth through the Virgin Mary, venting praise to God. Harry and I couldn't take it anymore. We were just too overwhelmed. We went down that night. There we were under the mosquito net in the village. This verse came to my mind. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. Praise God, trophies of His grace, trophies of His absolute grace. And without the local church like this, and without us working together as a body of Christ, I don't think this really happens. We need one another. May God encourage each and every one of us to whatever He gives us, to yield. Just simply yield, being captivated by His love and mercy and grace, knowing that He who is forgiven much, loves much. May God give us the grace to respond to His incredible grace that He's extended to each and every one of us. Thanks again for the time you've given us here this morning. Thank you very much. Thank you.